Now we're holding Nun Dalet Amud Aleph, beginning the seventh perek of the Masechta. Here we're going to be continuing to talk about, in this perek, about rules when a person makes a neder about a certain object, what is included or what is included and what is not, which was the subject of the previous perek. So now we're continuing on that topic. We're continuing on that topic as well now in this perek, beginning with Nun Dalet. So Mishnah starts off, a person makes a neder that he's not going to eat yerek, which means vegetables. And like we said yesterday, the word yerek in Gemara terminology often means specifically vegetables of which you eat the green parts. So it would include things like cabbage and lettuce and celery and things like that, but not necessarily would yerek include things like tomatoes and cucumbers and pumpkins, which is what we're going to discuss in the Mishnah over here, where those are things where you eat the fruit of the plant. Matter of fact, actually, in Hilchos Brachos, we say Hadama for all those things, but you actually have in a Mishnah in Brachos where Rabbi Yehuda distinguishes over there and says that for Peres Ha'aretz, for actual fruits from the ground, like tomatoes and watermelons and whatnot, you would say Baruch Pri Hadama, whereas he says that for Yerokos, again, ones where you eat the green parts of it, the leaves or whatever, he says you would say Baruch Mina Deshoyim, that Hashem makes various kinds of herbs. The halacha is not like him, but nevertheless, we do see that there is that distinction. But here again, we have to go according to Lashem Ne'adam, as usual with Nedarim. So Hanodim and Ayerek, a person makes a neder that he's not going to eat vegetables. Mutu bitluin, he's allowed to eat pumpkins. Because those are not considered Yerek, those are considered a pear. Those are considered a fruit. The Ran actually gives two explanations. That's the first one, he said it gives. And the second one is because the word Yerek, in and of itself, means things that can be eaten raw. As opposed to pumpkins, you don't eat raw, you always cook them. So it comes out, according to that second explanation, that let's say, for example, other things, onions, you don't eat raw either, so therefore those wouldn't be considered in the category of yerek either, whereas according to the first explanation, they might be, because onions are not the fruit of the plant, per se. Anyway, Rabbi Akiva oyser. Rabbi Akiva, on the other hand, says that a person makes a neder not to eat vegetables, then that does include pumpkins, as we're going to see in the Mishnah and in the Gemara, why he holds that. Omru loy l'Rabbi Akiva, so the Chachamim asked Rabbi Akiva, how could you say that? V'haloy oyma odom l'shluchoy, don't you find a person says to his shliach, when he's sending him to the store, kach liyerek, buy vegetables for me, v'hu oymer, and the guy might come back and say, loy matzasi elu deluim, I couldn't find vegetables, all I found was pumpkins. So you see that pumpkins are not considered vegetables. If they were considered vegetables, then he'd buy them right on the spot. He wouldn't come back to ask, what should I get instead? Omalahem, so Rabbi Akiva answers them, Kena Dover, that is exactly what it is. From there itself, I'll bring you a proof. Oh, Shemahu Omalay Matsosi al Kitness. After all, would the Shliach ever come back and say, I can't find vegetables over there, all I can find is beans? No, because nobody would think of beans as even in the category of vegetables at all, to ask about it. So you would, if there were no vegetables and all there were beans, the shliach wouldn't say, I can't find vegetables, all I can find is beans. He would say, I can't find any vegetables, what do you want me to do next? But on the other hand, you're telling me that he will come back and say, there aren't vegetables, but there are pumpkins. That itself shows that pumpkins are, to a certain extent, in the category of vegetables. So he says that shows, therefore, that pumpkins in Loshen Re'odom are considered in the category of vegetables, whereas beans are certainly not in that category. So therefore, that would be the difference. Is it something that the Shliach would ask, I didn't find such and such. Should I get this? Where he would only ask about this if this was something that was at least generally in the same category. You wouldn't ask about it if it was not at all in the same category. So therefore, that's connected to that category enough to be considered part of that category as far as nedarim. So therefore, yes, they would be. So therefore, he says that yes, pumpkins would be included. Continues the Mishnah, but also b'pulam mitzvi lach. Now another day, a person makes a neder that he's not going to eat vegetables, then he's also not allowed to eat fresh pulam mitzvi. pula mitzri is some kind of beans. They're called mitzri the pashtus because they were native to Mitzrayim, or at least they were cultivated widely over there. You find in Parshas Vayigash, for example, when after Yosef has revealed himself to his brothers and he sends them back home with food and tells them to bring Yaakov. So it says over there that he sent with them tuv mitzrayim, and Rashi brings one opinion over there, means that he sent him pula mitzri. So it's some kind of beans. The point is, when they're fresh, then they're considered yet. On the other hand, but umut beyavish, but he's allowed to eat them when they're dry, because when they're dry, they're not called yerek anymore. Because when they're fresh in particular, we find in other Gemaras, they would eat not only the seeds, the seeds from them, but also the greenery, also the leaves. So therefore, again, that's classic yerek. On the other hand, once they're dry, you don't eat the leaves anymore. Then all you eat is the seeds. So then that's not called yerek anymore. That would be considered beans. And then even Rabbi Akiva agrees that beans are not in the category of vegetables. Okay. So the Gemara starts off. And now we're going to learn in the next Mishnah, actually, that's different when he says there can be a different thing that he says, that he makes a neder. He's not going to eat dagon. Then we're going to talk about in the next Mishnah tomorrow, Be'ez Hashem, whether that would include dry pula mitzri, because after it's dried and all you have of it is the beans, then they make a pile of it, similar to the way they make piles of grain. So maybe that's considered dagon. We'll talk about that tomorrow, Be'ez Hashem. Anyway, so the Gemara starts off. The first question is, why would anyone say that it's including pumpkins? The question really is on Rabbi Akiva. Yes, Rabbi Akiva is saying that you would ask, that the shliach would ask. But nevertheless, the Gemara is not satisfied with that answer. The fact is, objectively, glurin are not in the category of yerek. We just said that yerek means the green parts of the plants. So it's one thing, pula mitzri, fine. The fact is that you have different stages in how it's treated. At some stages, when it's fresh, it's treated like yerek, and then when it's dry, it's treated like grain. So fine, we could say that he'd be also in it when it's fresh. But even though, yes, Rabbi Akiva is telling us that when a shliach is sent to the store to buy vegetables, if he can't find any, he'll say, I can't find other vegetables, but I can find gluin. But the fact is, on the face of it, you still need to have that. You still need to be talking about something that should be included in his neder in the first place. If the word yerek does not include ground fruit such as pumpkins, then how does the fact that a shliach asks about it make any difference? So the answer is Omer Ula Bo'omer Yaukech Deira Alai. So Ula says you're not talking about what you said the word yerek. Period. You're right. If he said yerek, then even Rabbi Akiva would have to agree it doesn't include pumpkins. What it means is that he said vegetables of the pot. So now by adding the words of the pot, he means to include pumpkins. Because the extra word. So the question is, still, isn't it more logical than to say that the extra word still includes something that's in the ordinary category of yerek, but it means things that are placed into a pot in order to flavor it. So, for example, we would say that it means not only vegetables, as in like lettuce or lettuce, generally cooked, but whatever, cabbage, let's say, or celery or other things like that are often cooked. Fine, you would say it includes also things like garlic and onions, which are put in there to flavor it. Still, how does even Yaukik data imply pumpkins at all? So the answer is, okay, but you're talking about that he says, I'm making a neder that I won't eat vegetables that are cooked in a pot. So now Rabbi Akiva is saying that everybody would agree then that that's going to include, so it's not only going to include things that go into a pot to flavor it. Necessarily, since he said things that are cooked in a pot, then he's going to have to include something in it, something that might otherwise not have been included. Now, the question is whether that includes pumpkins, because now you can apply the reasoning that Rabbi Akiva says in the Mishnah that a shliach would ask about it. Until we reach that point, until we got to the point, Yerach HaMistash HaMikdera, we still were saying we can't even use Rav Akiva's reason yet, because we first need to have some way in which DeLorean, in which pumpkins can reasonably at all be included in his nether, and then we can talk about, are they in fact included? So therefore, so the Ram summarizes. So if a person makes a nether from Yerek, then yes, he's mutter in fruits from the ground. So he'd be mutter in tomatoes and cucumbers and pumpkins and whatnot. If he says, on the other hand, Yerek Judera, then he would be also in things like onions and garlic. He'd still be mutter to eat pumpkins. He says, Yerek HaMistash HaBakdera, then yes, he's going to be the halacha in the end. The Gemara is going to say, in the end, we're going to say the halacha is like Rabbi Akiva for reasons that the Ran is going to explain later. So yes, if he makes a neder that about Yerek HaMistash HaBakdera, then yes, it's going to include things that are usually cooked in a pot, which includes pumpkins because you can't eat them raw. Because the Shliach asked about them. Now, so that was all the first explanation, the Ran says. So again, to begin with, the Ran said the reason why you had machlokas in the Mishnah about pumpkins, and the reason why the Gemara was discussing whether pumpkins should be included or not, is because on the face of it, they're not yerek, they're rather pri ha'adamah, they're fruits from the ground. Now, so that was the first explanation. The second explanation was, it wasn't so much a matter of yerek versus pri, it was a matter of something that's normally eaten, that can be eaten raw versus something that has to be cooked. So now the Ran says, let's go through that second explanation and see how the flow of the Gemara goes. The question was, to begin with, that he made a neder from Yerek, where Yerek is something that you can eat raw, and pumpkins you can't. So Ula answers that he says, Yarki Kedera, so that implies even things that can be cooked. But the question still is that Yarki Kedera would include things that can be eaten raw or cooked. For example, garlic, or for example, lettuce. Those can be eaten raw, or they can be eaten cooked. How would it include pumpkins, which are never eaten raw? And the answer is, well, he says yerek hamispash al b'kdeira. So he says, so hamispash al implies something where when you cook it, you have to cook it for a long time. Or even just that you need to cook it. B'chlal, the point is you don't eat them raw. So then, in that case, well, then pumpkins, so now you have a question, are pumpkins included? And the answer is that depends on whether we include something that a shliach would ask about, like Rabbi Akiva, or we don't include that, like the Chacham. So now, the Ran says, if we summarize according to that opinion, if he makes a neder from Yerek, he'll only be also to eat vegetables that are eaten raw, that are normally eaten raw. So according to the first explanation, it'll be a question of whether it's the green plants of the plant or not. According to the second explanation is this something that is normally eaten raw or not? Yarki Kedera would be ones that are cooked, that are eaten raw or cooked. And Yerek HaMistash HaBakdera would be ones, would include ones that are only eaten cooked, such as according to Rabbi Akiva pumpkins. Okay, so two different ways of explaining the flow of the Gemara, the questions and the answers. So now, the Gemara says, B'maikamifili. So now, what's the underlying machloikas? Once we establish that we said the word Yerek HaMistash HaBakdera, and therefore it means, according to the first explanation, it means anything that is, the words HaMistash HaBakdera means that it includes anything that can all be in the category of Yerokas. So now it's going to include pumpkins. So now, according to Rabbi Akiva, it's going to include pumpkins as well. And according to the second explanation, because these are things that are cooked, and HaMistash HaBakdera means things that are cooked. So what's the underlying machlokes? So the answer is, Rabbanan Savri, Kol Milsips, Gitzorech Shliach Le'imluchi Allah. The Chachamim say that anything that a Shliach has to ask about, Lav Minehu, it's not considered the Min. So in other words, you send someone to the store to buy vegetables. So now, he may find, for example, there are many different kinds of things that are considered vegetables, unquestionably, and he would buy any of them, because all you told him was, I want vegetables. So those are the kinds of things. He wouldn't even come back to ask, nowadays, call you up to ask, should I get this? Because it's understood that vegetables include those things. Then you have a category of things such as pumpkins. And now, then you have the opposite category, things that he wouldn't even ask about because they're completely in a different category. So, for example, in the Mishnah, Rabbi Akiva had given beans as an example of that. If there are no vegetables, he's not going to come back and say there were no vegetables, there was only beans, because beans are definitely a different category. He would just say there were no vegetables. And then he would leave it up to you to say, okay, well, then go back to the store, and then he might ask, well, what do they have? That's different, though. You, the shliach, didn't find the need to mention beans because you know they're not in that category b'chlal. Then you have, now, pumpkins, we're saying, are sort of in an intermediate category. A shliach would specifically ask about them. He would say there were no vegetables, but there were no other vegetables, but there were pumpkins. So now, according to the Chachamim, that's not enough to make them considered vegetables. The fact that he has to ask about it means that it's not in the primary category of vegetables. Whereas Rabbi Akiva would say anything that a shliach asks about, minehu, is considered the same min, and therefore, and because the very fact that a shliach asks about it means that to that extent it's considered part of that min, and therefore be considered included within his nether. So the Gemara says, Omer Abaya. Okay, so now we understand the machlokes between the two Tanoim. Now the Gemara seems to be a little bit repetitive, because these last three lines that we said b'mayi kamitzvigi, and explaining about what a shliach needs to ask about or doesn't need to ask about, seems to just be restating what it said in the Mishnah. So in fact, the Ritva asks, why is the Gemara even repeating it? And he says, because once we explained, we thought that the Mishnah was talking about Hanoid ben Ayer. Now we're actually saying Yerek HaMisbashel B'Kedera alive. So in other words, now we're saying, it's not that you should know, the Machlokas is not specifically about pumpkins, then Machlokas would be about other kinds of things where a Shliach might ask about. For example, now the Gemara is going to start talking about meat. So now the Gemara needs to establish that meat would be, for example, the same kind of thing. Is a shliach, if you send somebody to the store to buy meat, what would he be nimlach? What would he ask you about? They don't have regular meat, but they have such and such. Should I buy it? That would be included, even though it, again, according to Rabbi Akiva, that would be included because it's included as sort of an extended category of meat, whereas according to the Chachamim, not. So the Ritva says that's why the Gemara is repeating it. Later on, we're going to talk about an opinion of the Rambam once, as we go through the sugya. The Ram is going to mention an opinion of the Rambam on this subject and ask that it seems very difficult to make it fit with all Gemara. So we'll talk about over there the possible other reason why the Gemara is repeating itself over here. But so first the Gemara says, Tanan Hossam. Now, we learn in a Mishnah in Me'ilah. We know the Torah tells us you're not allowed to use property that belongs to Hekdesh, and if you do, then if a person does, then the Mezid is Chayiv Malkus, the Shogeg has to pay Hekdesh Keren V'Chomesh, the value of it plus 25%, and he has to bring a Korban. That's the Asham Ne'ilus that we mention in Ezehu Mekoyman every day. So there are among the rules of Ne'ilah, We touched on this earlier in the Masechta, or maybe it was in Ksubas, I don't remember. Anyway, we touched on the point, I think it was earlier in our Masechta, yeah. We touched on the point that, unlike with most Averas, there is Shlichus when it comes to Me'ilah. Namely, with most other Averas, if Reuven tells Shimon to go kill Levi, and he does, we don't say Reuven is not Chayiv Nisa, Shimon is. Reuven may punish Reuven however they see fit, but he's not technically Chayiv Nisa. And the same thing with most other things in the Torah. You tell a shliach to do an Avera, nothing happens. Me'ilah is what, not nothing happens, but the shliach would be the one Chayiv, because we tell him, Divri Arab, Divri Atama, Divri Mishoimin, you know that Hashem told you not to do this. You know that Pliny told you to do this. Why are you listening to Pliny instead of to Hashem when that other person also has to listen to Hashem? Me'ilah is one of those exceptions where we say that there can be a shliach for the Dvar Avera, namely if Reuven sends Shimon to do something which would constitute Me'ilah, then Reuven ends up being the one who's chayev to bring the korban and to pay Hekdesh. Shimon is not. But the rule is, it has to, among the rules for that are, it has to be, as we're going to say now, that that Shimon did exactly what Reuven told him, and didn't do anything different. If he did something different, then he's not considered a shliach. So Tnanhas, and we learn in a Mishnah in Meila, Hashliach she'osa shlichosai. If a shliach fulfills his shlichos, so Reuven told him to do such and such, and he did exactly that. Bala bias mal, then the bala bias you sent him is the one who committed meila. It's a special limud that Ran refers to where Gemara is elsewhere that explained we learn it by Xedah Shava from something involved in Truma. The same way as you can appoint somebody as your shliach to take Truma. We learned about that earlier in our Masechta. The same way it's possible to appoint somebody else to do meila on your behalf. But the Mishnah continues, loy osa shlichosai. If he didn't do his shlichus exactly, shliach moal, then the shliach is the one who's committed me'ila, because then we say he did it on his own das. So, the Gemara asks, man tana, which tana would be the one who makes that distinction? So the first part, the Ran explains, fine, that's going to be, for sure, that's going to be according to everybody. Because again, we said we learned it from Truma. But the concept that if the shliach does something differently, that he would be the one to commit me'ila, rather than the bala bias, which Tana would say that? So Rav Chista says the second part of the Mishnah, and the continuation of our Mishnah, the continuation of the Mishnah, which is going to give an example involving the shliach doing something, and we're going to talk about that the shliach committed me'ila, that would not be according to Rav Akiva. It's not. So rather, the part that we said so far, shliach shalasa shlichosai, that part would be according to everybody. But the specific example that the Mishnah is going to give is going to be, Rav Chista says, cannot be like Rav Akiva. Ditznan, namely, the Mishnah there continues, Ketzad, what would be an example of this? Omalai ten basal la'ochim, suppose that the Balabas says to the Shliach, give meat to the guests, so this can be meat of actual hektish, or it can be that he, for example, he told them to take money and go buy meat. The Nasan lamb covered, and the Shliach gave them liver, or ten covered venosan lamb basar, or the other way around, the balabais told them to serve them liver, and instead he served them other kinds of meat. Hashliach moal. Then we say the shliach is the one who committed ne'ila, because we're saying liver is not included in the category of meat. Obviously, for some purposes it is. Obviously, for example, as far as basar b'cholov, it would be. But we're saying for purposes of this halacha, the Mishnah is saying it's not considered in the category of meat. Well, says Rav Chista, the E Rav Akiva, if you're going to say that the Mishnah is like Rav Akiva, Ha'omer Rav Akiva, Kol Milsi De Mimle Chalosh Shliach Minehu. After all, Rav Akiva is saying in our Mishnah and the Gemara that we just said that anything a Shliach would think to ask about is considered the same mean. Well, the same kind of thing. You send somebody to the store to buy meat. He may come back and say, "There's no meat. There's only liver. Should I buy it?" So we see that liver, according to by Rav Akiva's logic with the pumpkins in our Mishnah, the same thing should apply to liver. Liver should be considered a subcategory of meat, and therefore, so according to him, limo balabayis flo limo shliach. So the balabayis, we should say that the balabayis is committed ne'ila, the shliach should not. We should say it's like the general rule where the shliach does exactly what the balabayis says. You know what? I actually just skipped a line. I skipped a line before that. Going back, Omer Abaya. So Abaya said, after we established the machlokas between Rabbi Akiva and the Chachamim, so Abaya says, Moedin Rabbi Akiva, in Malkus, Shein Eloika, Rabbi Akiva would agree regarding Malkus that he doesn't get Malkus. So in the case, for example, of Om Mishnah, where he makes a neder not to eat vegetables, we established, he says he means vegetables that are cooked in a pot, and he ate pumpkins, since pumpkins are not directly part of that. We're only including them through the fact that the shliach asks about them. So therefore, Rav Akiva is going to agree that it's really only a suffer, and therefore he's not going to get malchus from it. So now continues this part where we're talking about meila and the shliach. So again, if we're according to Rav Akiva, Rav Chista is saying that It's true we just said Abaye had said that Rabbi Akiva would agree he doesn't get malchus, but that would only be something the Ran explains. It's one thing, pumpkins are not really in the category of Yerek at all. We're including them as a secondary thing because we're saying the Shliach would ask about them. On the other hand, liver is much more meat without that kind of ribble. You don't really, it's true, practically speaking, that a shliach will ask about it. He'll say, I can't find regular meat, but I can find liver. Should I buy it? But nevertheless, even without that, we would by default kind of have considered liver to be a kind of meat. It is, after all, meat as far as the dinim of kashrus and other such things, for example. So we would have much more. So even though Abaye was saying before that even Rabbi Akiva would agree you wouldn't get malchus for pumpkins because that's more like a suffix. But nevertheless, though, so Rav Chista is saying that liver would be much more in the category of meat than pumpkins are in the category of vegetables, and therefore, on the face of it, Rabbi Akiva ought to say that they're considered that liver is considered meat as far as the dinim of Me'ilah, and therefore we would say that the shliach has not committed Me'ilah, the Baal HaBayis has because he fulfilled the shlichus exactly.
I happen to put it in the this week, chicken liver.
Okay. Fine. Tosfos points out a couple of other things in this. The fact is, we did just say, Tosfos is also bothered by the same question as the Ran, that if we just said a few lines ago, the line that I skipped and then I stuck in, that Abaye says that after all, even Rabbi Akiva agrees he's not going to get Malchus, so then how is the Gemara asking over here when we're talking about Me'ilah, where we're talking Dinim Daraisa, how are we saying that the Baal HaBayis should have committed Me'ilah, the Shliach should not have, if he gave liver instead of meat, or meat instead of liver, if we just established that even appointed Rabbi Akiva, who is the one who says about this business of a Shliach asking, of a Mimlach Shliach, of a Shliach asking, should I get this, even he is saying it's only a matter of a suffix. So first Tosfos gives an answer similar to the Ran, that pumpkins are not really considered yerek at all, they're really considered peiros, as opposed to other things like liver and meat, there's really very little question that it's much more similar. Then Tosfos gives some other explanations. Rabbi Akiva is saying that it's considered the same min, but after all, we said before Rabbi Akiva is saying, Abaye explained that Rabbi Akiva is saying he wouldn't get malchus. So given that it's a suffix, so how can we say as a blanket statement that the shliach has committed Me'ilah according to this Mishnah? If it's a suffix, then we would have a suffix, whether it's the Baal HaBayis or the shliach who committed Me'ilah, and we can't make either of them bring the Asham Me'ilahs.
Only if you know for sure.
Yeah, you can't bring an Asham Me'ilas for a Sofik. Asham Tolui is something else. An Asham Tolui is when you had a Sofik on whether you did something that makes you Chayav Achatos, then you bring an Asham Tolui instead. Classic example, you have two pieces of fat in front of you. One is Chaylev, one is Shuman. You ate one, the other one's lost. You're not sure which one you ate. Then you bring an Asham Tolui. But you don't bring an Asham Tolui where the original thing to bring itself was an Asham. So in other words, according to that explanation, Tosfos gives a couple of explanations about it, but in other words, one explanation is that when the Gemara is saying that if the Mishnah was appointed Rabbi Akiva, we should say limo Baal HaBayis loy limo shliach, the Gemara is not being precise about it. It means we should say that neither one has committed Me'ilah for sure. We would have at most a suffix whether the Baal HaBayis or the shliach has committed Me'ilah. Why is the Mishnah saying the shliach has committed Me'ilah, implying that he is definitely bringing the korban, when according to what we just said, according to Rabbi Akiva, at most it would be a suffix. So again, according to the Ran, what the Gemara is saying is, and like Tosfos' first answer, is that there's no question that liver is much more in the category of meat than pumpkins are in the category of vegetables. So therefore, fine. So according to the Chachamim, we understand the Mishnah easily enough, but according to Rabbi Akiva, it wouldn't work, because then we would say that the Baal HaBayis ought to have committed Me'ilah, because liver should definitely be included in the category of meat. Only according to the Chachamim, who say the fact is, the very fact that a Shliach has to ask about it means that it's not completely in that category. like they said about pumpkins. And according to another answer in Tosfos, the question is that it would be a suffix, and how can we make them be chayiv and Hashem ne'ilus for that? So therefore, so says Rav Chista, that shows, therefore, that the Mishnah is not like Rav Akiva.
Oh.
On the other hand, Omar Abaya, Afilu Tamer Rav Akiva. On the other hand, Abaya says no. You could even say that our Mishnah goes like Rav Akiva. Not our Mishnah, I mean the Mishnah in Me'ila that we were just discussing about the meat and the liver. Milo Moda Rav Akiva, because after all, doesn't Rav Akiva agree that Sorech in Luchi? The fact is, you do have to ask about it. It is true that liver is more in the category of meat than pumpkins are in the category of Yerokas. Nevertheless, the fact is that a Shliach will still have to ask about it. So if he doesn't ask, then we can say that he's doing on his own das. So the Baal HaBayis is going to figure the Shliach didn't ask me. He served them something. So he must have served them something that I intended for him to. Meanwhile, it turns out that it was liver, and therefore it's not precisely what the Baal HaBayis had in mind. Therefore, the Baal HaBayis hasn't committed Ne'ilah because his Shlichus wasn't done exactly. So that would explain, even according to Rav Akiva, we can say that the Shliach did commit Ne'ilah. The very fact that he didn't think to ask, there's no meat, should I give them liver instead? And then the Baal HaBayis would have told him one way or the other is enough to make him chayiv from Me'ilah. Because now we can say he did it on his own das because he didn't think to ask. On the other hand, when it comes to Nedarim, then there's nobody else to be soymechan. So therefore, when he said that I am osur in Yerokas, then Rabbi Akiva is going to say it has to include anything on which a shliach is going to ask. In other words, the difference would be basically that in the case of Me'ilah, you have two parties to deal with. You have the Baal HaBayis and you have the shliach, and the shliach has somebody to ask, as opposed to my nedarim, the person himself who made the neder is the one who we're talking about, what he's osur in and what he's mutter in. There's nobody else for him to rely on. So therefore, Rabbi Akiva can say that anything that a shliach would ask about is included.
So based according to what we just said now, the comparison liver to meat and
pumpkin versus pumpkin. So now we're saying in the end, yeah, we're saying there is a certain similarity between them. There is actually a certain difference between them. We're saying, before we were saying that Rav Akiva would say that it's kind of a suffix in the case of vegetables, in the case of pumpkins. So therefore he's not going to get malchus for being over on it. Here, on the other hand, we're saying there's less of a suffix involved. We can say more for certain it is true that liver is in the category of meat, but nevertheless it's something that the shliach should have been expected to ask about. And the fact that he didn't ask, then he's the one responsible. So the Gemara says, Itmar Shmaita Kameda Rabba. They told over this whole discussion to Rabba. Omalaha in Shapir, Omal Nachmeni. He says, Nachmeni has said correctly. Nachmeni is Abaya. So the Ran explains, and we have this explanation in other places as well, that his real name was Abaya. He was nicknamed Nachmeni. He was nicknamed Nachmeni because he was raised by Rabba Bar Nachmeni. So we know from the Gemara in Kiddushin, his father passed away before he was born. His mother passed away in childbirth. So he was raised by his uncle, Rabba. And because Rabba is Rabba Bar Nachmeni, so they gave him the name Abaya. And he's not the only one. There's another Amora mentioned here and there in Shas. We had him in Ksubas, for example, named Abaya Kshisha. So now they gave him the name Abaya, and now he was nicknamed Nachmeni because he was raised by Rabba Bar Nachmeni. Then that's one explanation, the Oruch. And then the Oruch of Shuda Gordon, one of his letters, says the other way around, actually. His real name was Nachmeni. Rabba named him after his own father, Nachmeni. But because of who was also, he's Abaya's grandfather as well, because Abaya was the son of Rabba's brother. So Nachmeni is not only is Rabba's father and Abaya's grandfather, but Rabba didn't want to regularly call him Nachmeni, because that is his father's name after all. He didn't want to be using his father's name all the time. So instead, he nicknamed him Abaya, and there we have two explanations why. Either it's a nickname for Abba. Abaye would be a nickname for Abba. Or there's the famous explanation that it stands for Asher B'cho Yerucham Yosem, that we say a Yosem finds comfort in you, Hashem, and therefore he nicknamed them, and therefore he was named that. So according to that, Nachmeni was his real name, like what he would have been called up to the Torah or whatever, and Abaya was his nickname. Whereas according to the Ran, it's the other way around. Abaya was his real name, and Nachmeni was his nickname.
It's on Nachmeni, the
Asher B'chol Yerucham Yosem is the initials spell out Abaya. So according to that explanation, Abaya was his nickname. Yeah. Okay.
Well, Aleph is Hashem.
Asher b'cho Yerucham Yosem. Aleph Beis Yud Yud. Yeah. Okay. Now, so in the end, actually, now the Rambam Paskins, and this is brought, well, as far as Malchus, not brought in Shulchan Aruch, because we're not Malchus nowadays, but the Rambam brings in Hilchos Nedarim, that in fact, in the case like the Paskins, like Rabbi Akiva, for reasons that we're going to explain in a second, the Gemara is going to say that the Tana in Or Mishnah, who disagrees with Rabbi Akiva, is Reb Shimon Gamliel, which means that it's a machloikas of a Rabbi Akiva against the Yochid, and the Halacha is usually like Rabbi Akiva in such cases. We're going to have another reason as well, having to do with the Stam Mishnah elsewhere. We may as well say now, there's a Stam Mishnah in Chulin that says a person makes a neder not to eat meat. Then it includes chicken. Because people call it meat, and that's a Stam Mishnah, like the mayor, because again, that's one of those things that Mimla Chaloshliya. You send somebody to the store to buy meat, he may come back and say there's only chicken available. The Mishnah in Chulin says that as far as Nedarim, a person makes a neder not to eat meat, then it includes chicken. So therefore, that's a Stam Mishnah according to Rabbi Akiva in our Mishnah, and that is another reason. It's kind of an So that there's two reasons the Ran explains to Paskin like Rabbi Akiva. One is because the Gemara is going to say now that there's only a single Tana who opposes him. We thought in the Mishnah we have the Chachamim against him. The Tana Kama is usually the opinion of the Chachamim. Now we're going to say it's actually Reb Shimon Gamliel. So the Halacha is like Rabbi Akiva against one other Tana. Halacha is like Rabbi Akiva Machaveri. Also, we have a Stam Mishnah in Chulin that goes like him. It is true that across Masechtis, we don't say, we have the rule that we learned about this in Yevamos. When you have within one Masechta itself, a Machloikas, and then later on a Stam Mishnah, then the implication is the Halacha is like that second opinion. It means that Rebbe originally wasn't sure who the Halacha is like, and later on he established the Halacha like one of them and made a Stam Mishnah to that effect. Across Masechtis, we don't say that. Because we don't know what order the Masechtas were taught in, but nevertheless, it's another reason to say, like Rabbi Akiva. First of all, because he's the one who's Machmir, and we're generally Machmir and Nigarim, and also because we're saying that only Rav Shimon Gamliel is going against him, and Halacha Rabbi Akiva Mechaveh.
That's not
in Yevamos is an example where you have within the same Masechta, you have an example of where you have a Machloikas and then a Stam, or a Stam and then a Machloikas. But the rule applies in other Masechtas as well, yeah. An interesting point in this, by the way, is that the Rambam, when he brings this halacha about pumpkins, so yes, he passed in Rabbi Akiva for the reasons that he said, but he doesn't mention anything about not getting malchus for it. Even though we said before, Abaya says that even Rabbi Akiva is going to agree you don't get malchus for eating pumpkins in this case, nevertheless, the Rambam leaves that out. Why does the Rambam leave that out? So there's an interesting explanation that it may be that Abaya himself changed his mind. Originally Abaya was saying that it's only a suffix according to Rabbi Akiva, therefore he's saying you can't get Malchus, but later on he's changing his mind in connection with the discussion of the Mishnah in Me'ilah about the Shliach, that Abaya may change his mind and say that Rabbi Akiva would actually say that any time a Shliach asks about something, then it is considered fully in that category, Daraisa. So that would explain about the meat and the liver, why it is that the shliach is the one who committed me'ilah, because liver is something that a shliach would ask about. Similarly, we would say in the case of pumpkins, since the shliach asks about them, then they would fully be included. And that may also be, in fact, why in the Gemara over here we have, they set it over to Rava, and he compliments and says, Nachmeni, Abaya said well. Usually the Gemara's expression for such a thing would be Abaya v'Rava, Damit Abaya. Abaya and Rava both give this explanation. Why instead do we have differently? So the vote would be that when Rava heard this explanation, he expected Abaya to say, like his own shita before, that it's only Dirabban. Now instead, when Abaya is answering that it's Daraisa, and that we can make the Mishnah in Ne'ilah work like Rabbi Akiva, then he's very impressed. He says, oh, I see Abaya changed his mind and accepted that it is in fact according to Rabbi Akiva, Daraisa, and not only Dirabbanon, and then the Rambam duly would be passed in according to that. Okay. Now, we're going to ask, Man Tana de Poligale de Rabbi Akiva, which Tana argues with Rabbi Akiva? And the answer is Rav Shimon Gamliel. Specifically, that would be Rav Shimon Gamliel, which again, that's one Tana, so therefore that would give us a reason to, that would give us one reason to pass the Makarakim. The Tanya, we learn in a Blaise. Hanodim and Abbasar, a person makes a neder that he's not going to eat meat, also Bechomine Abbasar, then he's also in any kind of meat, which includes, but also Beroish Varaglayim, he's also to eat the head of the animal, even though most people don't eat it, and the legs of the animal, same thing. Different girsa that it brings over here on the side is not raglayim, which means the legs, but rather kravayim, which means the kishkis. Even though those are not normally eaten, and the Gemara is going to say something about that in a few lines, nevertheless, the bosser does include those. Uvakone, it would also include the windpipe, uvakoved, and the liver, uvalev, and the heart, uvaoifis, and it would include birds. On the other hand, he would be mutter to eat fish or locust. Those are not included in the category of basa. But the Braisa continues, Rav Shimon on the Olamer, Hanodim and Abasa, also Bechomine Basa. Yes, if he makes a neder not to eat meat, he's also in all kinds of meat. And by all kinds, in other words, we mean whether wild animals, whether domestic animals. But Rav Shimon Gamliel would say he is mutter to eat barosh varaglayim, the head or the feet, or vakone or vakoved, or the windpipe or the liver, or valev or the heart, or vaoifis, and he'd be allowed to eat birds. The ain sarach lema b'sav jagam chagav. Needless to say, he would be allowed to eat fish or locusts. He's saying that chicken is mutter. That's the point, because all of those things are something that a shliach would ask about. If you send somebody to the store to buy meat, it's going to depend in different times and places. The Taz, for example, points out in Yoreh Day, that we're going to talk about soon, about whether fish is included. There's no question nowadays, you send somebody to the store to buy meat, they're not even going to ask, there was no meat, there was only fish, should I get that instead? So things change at different times, But Rav Shimon Gamliel was saying, if you send somebody to the store to buy meat, so there are various things where he'll buy without even asking. He may buy a brisket, he may buy a roast, he may buy a steak, et cetera, different parts from the animal, but he's not going to buy the head or the legs or whatever without coming back and asking you or calling you up and asking you, is this what I should get? So we see Rav Shimon Gamliel holds that anything that a shliach asks about is not included in the category, which is exactly what the Tana Kama of our Mishnah is saying. So therefore, that's what we're saying. The Tana that disagrees with Rav Akiva is Rav Shimon Gamliel. So in our Braisa, when we say Hanodim and Abasa, also Bechomine Basa, and gives the whole list of things that he's also in, that beginning of the Braisa would be appointed Rav Akiva. The second part of the Braisa would be appointed Rav Shimon Gamliel.
From before now, he's introduced the things that you say you're allowed to have, which is like the heads. He also says oifus, chicken.
Right, that's the point. In other words, because oifus is the same thing. If you send somebody to the store to buy meat, and you mean by that the pastures, you mean animal meat, he may come back and say, there's no animal meat, there's only oifus, there's only bird meat available. Should I buy it? That's dover shem mimlach alav shliach. So that would be the kind of thing that Rav Akiva is going to include, and Rav Shimon Gamliel is not going to include. So the same machlokas as we had in our Mishnah is going to apply over here.
Interesting, like Monroe or Muncie by a wedding, a guy get slices and slices, but then there's chicken.
Right, sure. Okay, so
they get called.
Obviously, Losh and Rayadam differs in different places. But okay, continues the Braisa. The Chain Hoyer of Shimon Gamliel Omer. Similarly, in this connection of Shimon Gamliel used to say, Kravayim Lav Basar, the kishkis of an animal are not included in the word Basar. And a person who eats kishkis is not really a proper human being. He's not. So what does that mean? The Gemara says oichlein tabosel the inyan zvini, meaning that if a person has the choice, he could have bought regular meat, and instead he buys kishkis lav bar inish, then he's not acting the way that people normally act. Normal people would buy regular meat. Now, what's the naftamina of Rav Shimon Gamliel mentioning that? So first of all, the Shittim Kubetzis brings, let's say, for example, I'm selling you meat. And I tell you, I'm selling, you come into the store asking for meat, you say, I'll sell you a pound of meat. I can't include Kishkis in that pound and say, well, you have a whole pound over here. I have to give you a pound of proper meat. Then the Meiri says a different explanation. And the Gemara just means that derech tzachus. The Gemara just means that it's like a figure of speech. When we say that they're lav basar, meaning they don't strengthen your body like the way real meat would. There's a Tosfos elsewhere that mentions another possible naftamina of it, which is, we know that in halacha you have a concept called chaticha ro'uya l'shkabel. When you have a piece of meat which is important enough that you would serve it to the guests and then take pride and look what a nice piece I served you, such a piece of meat is not bottle. If there is, for example, you have a piece of meat that's osir like that and gets mixed up with other ones, we don't apply the usual rules of bitul b'roy or bitul b'shishim because chaticha ro'uya l'shkabel. What happens, for example, so Tosfos mentions over there, there was an example of something that happened like that with chicken pipics. Whatever they call it, I don't know, but whatever. So the halacha was paskin, and this is brought in Shulchan Aruch, those are not considered chaticha roi l'iskabet based on our Gemara over here, because we have a choice of eating normal meat, and you're eating kishkis instead. We're saying a chleim lab barinish, so therefore that cannot be considered a chaticha roi l'iskabet, and therefore the usual rules of bitul can apply. You have one puppet from a trefa chicken, and you have 60 from kosher chickens, then it can be bought. Right. Yeah. So the Gemara says, So we've established therefore that Rav Shimon Gamliel is the Tana of our Mishnah who disagrees with Rav Akiva. So now the Gemara asks, Maishna b'stal oif Tanakama de Osir. Now let's look at this Braisa. The Tanakama of this Braisa, who was saying is Rav Akiva, says that meat of birds would be osir, the Ovid Shlicha de Mimlachale, because the Shliach is going to ask about it. He's going to say there's no regular meat, there's only chicken. Should I buy that? Sar Dogim Nami Ovid Shlicha. Wouldn't a Shliach also ask about that? Wouldn't a Shliach also ask about fish? The Eli Mashkach Bisra Mimlechala. If he doesn't find meat, he's going to ask about it. The Omar, he says, Eli Mashkach Bisra. He says, before he leaves even, if I don't find meat, I see Dogim, should I bring fish? So on that basis, for Litzeru, so shouldn't it be also? Now, the Gemara seems to be very repetitive and very wordy over here. First, we're saying that a shliach will ask about it, and then we're saying that he'll actually ask in advance about it. So why the extra loshen? So in fact, there's a tshuva from the Maharik who talks about this and actually brings a different girsa that actually shortens the wording of the Gemara and then takes out the repetitiveness. But we have another possible reason for the repetitiveness that we'll get to in a minute after we talk about when we finish the sugya and we talk about the Rambam's shita about this, which the Ran asks about. Then we'll find a possible reason for the Gemara's extra wordiness over here and why it's talking about shliach asking after the fact as well as asking before the fact. So the question still is, again, that fish on the face of it are also in the category of boss. So now, again, you know, you have in later times, it's not necessarily like that. Nowadays, you send somebody to the store to buy meat. There's no way that he's going to say there's no meat available. There's only fish. Should I buy that? Because nobody considers fish in the category of meat anymore. But in the times of the Gemara, evidently they did. The fact is they called it besau dogim, the meat of fish. So therefore, so it should be so, and a shliach would ask about it. So velitasu, so they should be considered also. The answer is Amar Abayit when Shehik is done. The case would be where the Tanakama would say that where the Tanakama of the Braisa would agree that fish is not included, because when Shehik is done, for example, the person who made the nether had blood left. So now he's not going to eat fish afterwards. Deloy Ochol Dogin, he's not going to eat fish afterwards because it's not good for him. When he makes a nether that he's not going to eat meat, he's anyway not going to include fish because he wasn't planning to eat it anyhow. So the Gemara asks the Hochi after the Oifus Nami Loi Ochel. Well, then he shouldn't be eating bird meat either. So in that case, why would bird meat be included? The Amar Shmuel, because Shmuel says the Masuka or the Masuvar, different verses, whatever. When a person has blood let, specifically the Ran explains that it means when he has blood let from his shoulders. In those times, they had different places in the body where they do bloodletting from. So one particular place was they would do from the shoulders. So yeah. So when they would do that, So if a person does that, says Shmuel, the Masuka, if a person has blood let from his shoulders, but Ochel Bisra Ditzipara, and then he eats meat from a bird, Porach Lide Kitzipara, his heart is going to flutter or fly away like a bird. So it can mean that he's going to faint, it can mean that he's going to start having heart palpitations, whatever it is, the point is not healthy for him. An interesting point, actually, is that an interesting point that's brought up in Chidushim from one of the Achronim, Chidushim HaGarzas. He asks, so then, okay, the Gemara could answer very simply. There's a difference whether he had it bled from his shoulder or from someplace else. If he ate from his shoulder, then it's no good to eat bird meat afterwards, but from other parts of the body, it would be fine. So he answers, if the Gemara is saying the consequences of doing it after bloodletting from the shoulder are so severe, then we have to assume that even bloodletting from other parts of the body, then bird meat afterwards is not very good. Fine, it won't have that severe effect of Orach Liba, but it'll still have some kind of an effect. Yeah, it's a chedushim from Abzalman Sender, one of the Achronim. I don't know much about him, but he published chedushim on Nedarim, and yes, sir. Yeah, orange juice, I don't know, yeah. Okay, so, Vitanya, and we learn in a braisa, in the kizin loyal dogim, when you're letting blood, don't depend afterwards on that there's going to be fish available to eat, the loyal oifers, or birds, the loyal basim aliyach, or on meat that is salted, and not salted like for kashrut. We mean like oversalted, like beef jerky or something. Those are not good things to eat after letting blood. Vitanya, and we learn in another braisa, hik is dam, when a person has had blood let, lo yoichal like cholav like beitzim, he should not eat afterwards milk or cheese or eggs, v'lo shachalayim, or quests, which is it's a type of vegetable. The Gemara mentions it all over the place. It has a sharpish, peppery taste, and they would use it in salads and whatnot as a condiment. Veloy oifos, and also not birds, veloy basam aliyach, and also not salted meat. So we see, in other words, that after, so if we're talking that the person has had blood let, then because of that he's not eating fish, and because of that he's not including fish in his nether, then he's not going to include birds either. So why is the Braisa earlier saying that birds are going to be also to him, according to the Tanakama of the Braisa, and fish would be mutter? So the answer is shiny oifus to Epshiride Shlika. Because the difference is with birds, it is possible to eat them after bloodletting, but only if you cook them for a long time. So like you make chicken soup out of them, then you can eat it after bloodletting and it's good for you. As opposed to fish, there's no way to make it good to eat after bloodletting, so therefore fish are going to be excluded altogether. So that would explain why the Tanakama of the Braisa would say that fish are mutter to him, because under these circumstances he never meant to include fish in his nether, whereas birds he meant to include, because birds, conceivably, you could cook them for a long time and then he'd be able to eat them after bloodletting. Abaya gives a different explanation. Going to Kaivin like Amen. The case can be not where he had blood let, but the case would be where the person has an eye ache, where the person has an eye infection. The dug in caution by nine, because eating fish is bad for a person who has an eye infection. So if you want to ask, what do you mean? He dug him. On the contrary, he should be eating fish in that case. Nun samach ayin. Shmuel says, look at the order of the letters in the alphabet. Nun samach ayin. And we can douch in that. The word nun is Aramaic for fish. So nuna. The samach we can understand as being related to the word sama, which means a healing potion. The word sam in general means, the word sam means a potion. So it can mean samamavis would be a potion that kills a person. Sam, unspecified, means an elixir. It means a medicine. It means something that, in English you could translate it as potion. The word potion and the word poison are actually distantly related. But a poison is a certain type of potion that kills a person. But sam in general means a potion, something that you would give a person. So anyway, so Nuna Sama Leinayim is a potion. It's a remedy for ayin, for the eyes. So Shmuel is doubting, in other words, the fact that the letters of the aleph phase are in that order helps us remember that little tidbit of medical information. So we see that the fish are good for your eyes. The answer is Ahu Soif Oichla. The answer is that would be at the end of the illness that fish are good for when a person has had an eye infection and then he's basically over it, then fish are good for him. But when you're at the beginning of the illness, then fish is bad for him. So now we're talking about, Abaya says, so the scenario can be a person has an eye infection. He makes a nether that he's not going to eat basar. Necessarily, he's not including fish, because fish he's not going to be eating anyway at that point. Therefore, the Tanakama of the Braisa will say that fish is mutter to him, if he should decide to eat it. And on the other hand, though, the Tanakama of the Braisa is going to say the various other parts of the animal are going to be usur, and so are birds, and Rav Shimon Gamliel would be saying that they're mutter, because again, those are the kinds of things a shliach would have to ask about. Right. Okay, so let's try to straighten it out then. According to Abaya, we're talking about, so according to both answers of Abaya, we're saying that we're talking about it under a specific scenario. Either he had bloodlet, or in the second answer that he had an eye infection. In the case of letting blood, neither fish nor birds are good for him. The difference is that good meat you can cook for a long time and make it edible and make it good for him. Therefore, he might have included them in his nether, because conceivably he could have been eating them, as opposed to fish that not. The second answer, you don't need any of that. A person who has an eye ache, there's nothing wrong with him eating birds. There's only a problem with him eating fish at the beginning of the illness. Tosfos, by the way, elsewhere gives a different explanation of soif oichla, means at the end of the meal. There'd be a difference as far as fish, whether we eat them at the beginning of the meal or the end of the, when he has an eye infection, whether we eat them at the beginning of the meal or the end of the meal. Marashah, by the way, mentions a cute thing in this connection. By the mon, we have, the Jewish people are complaining about the mon in Parshas Baal Oischa. They say, all we have is mon, bilti ala mon einenu. We miss the fish that we used to have in the Tanayim. Now all we have to look forward to is mon. So the Marashah explains, what they're saying is fine. We agree that mon has one advantage over fish. If a person has an eye infection, then fine. We say in the Gemara over here, fish is no good for him. Fine, at least mon is not like that. Other than that, though, we missed the fish that we had in Mitzrayim. Mm-hmm. We don't have that. All we have is mon. Anyway, so what's the mon? So the Ran discusses over here that, first of all, the halacha is like Rabbi Akiva for the various reasons we explain. Now, on the face of it, though, still we're saying over here that only if a person had bloodlet or had an eye infection, only then, if he makes a neder against Vosser, would it not include fish for the reasons that we said, implying that otherwise it will include fish. Well, the Ran says that's a big question on the Rambam then, who says that birds are always going to be Osir, and fish are going to be Osir only in a place where Shliach asks about them. So how does that fit with our Gemara over here? In our Gemara, we were saying that ordinarily fish ought to be included in a place where Shliach asks on them, and birds also, only if Shliach asks about them. So it should be the same din with birds and with fish. Why are we making the distinction? Why is the Rama making the distinction? So the Kesef Mishnah explains, and this also explains the wordiness of the Gemara before, that there's two different kinds of Mimla Shliach. There can be, when you send somebody to the store in the first place, he may say, in case they're out of such and such, should I buy such and such instead? Mm-hmm. That would be one kind of mimlach shliach. Then you have the other kind where he didn't ask to begin with, but he asked after the fact. He comes back and says, they didn't have X, should I get something else that's closely related instead? So that Amma may understand that these are two different kinds of things. In fact, here we have the wordy part of the Gemara before, where we said the Shliach asks about it, and he pre-asks about it. On Omar Aleph also we had where the Shliach has to ask about it, versus we said the expression where the Shliach generally asks about it. So there's a Kesef Mishnah that gives an explanation then that the Rambam is going to say that there were two different kinds of Mimlach Shliach. One of them we're going to say, what the Gemara is saying over here, that fish and birds are in the same category, that might be as far as the second one, not necessarily as far as the first one. When you first send somebody to the store, he may say to begin with, if they don't have meat, should I buy chicken? But he wouldn't say to begin with, if they don't have meat, should I buy fish? But after the fact, he may come back and say, they didn't have meat, should I buy, or chicken, should I buy fish? So that would be a different kind of mimlach shliach, and therefore the Rambam would have a reason to say that after all there would be a distinction between them.
Now, you might wouldn't bring this up. That it depends. Each shliach knows.
No, we're talking about what the average shliach would ask. Right. The average shliach. So we're talking about what the average shliach in a given place would do. The Ran, by the way, mentions one other point. We did say over here, we mentioned among the things you're not supposed to eat after bloodletting, one of the things we said was salted meat. Now, what about though? So suppose we're talking about in the Gemara, but your person has just had bloodlet, and he said, therefore, fish is not going to be included in his neder because he's not going to be eating fish anyway. Birds, we said, only because you can cook them for a long time, make chicken soup out of them, might he include them in his neder? What about salted meat? We said it's not good to eat salted meat, and it's not good to eat beef jerky right. after that either. Nonetheless, the Ram says, the fact is, you don't even need, a shliach doesn't even need to ask about that, because there's no question that Bosam Aliyah is considered meat. Only as far as somebody who has had blood left, do we say that it's not good for him to eat it? But other than that, it's fully considered meat. A shliach wouldn't even have to ask about it. So therefore, it's going to be also to him regardless, whether he had blood left or whether or not, if he made a nether not to have meat, he is going to be also to have also salted meat. On the other hand, then he says, locusts, now we mentioned over here locusts in the Braisa, we didn't discuss them in the Gemara at all, but the fact is that nobody is going to consider locusts a kind of meat. Definitely, they don't even need to be shechted, etc. So a shliach is not going to ask about them at all. He's not going to come back and say there was no meat. Should I buy chagavim? So therefore, there's no question. Those are not included. Everybody is going to agree that they're not included, and that's in fact the halacha that a person makes a neder not to have meat. He will be allowed to have chagavim. Practically speaking, of course, that would only be nowadays if you're a Yemenite Jew, because everybody else has lost the masoda for which are the kosher chagavim.
Shekachem.
Yeah.